Hello, Miss Elsie.
Hello. We're back. And just how are you feeling?
Back and better than ever. I sound like an old smoker, but I'm good. I'm just getting...
Oh, you sound like an old... I thought you said I found an old smoker. I was like, really?
Okay. No. I know many old smokers, but I found...
Oh, wow.
I sound like an old smoker, but it's going away, which is good. Isaac's in school. Scott went back to work. So hopefully we're living our best life now. We had to skip our entire anniversary. We're all so ill. Our anniversary
went
in the shits. Yep. We were just like, well, that's not happening because it was last Wednesday, the day I couldn't record with you. I could barely swallow and it was awful.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. How about you? How are you doing? It was raining today, and I assume that's part of the whole, you know, national disaster of Hurricane Flo, Aunt Flo coming to town, as they say.
No, holy cow. You know, thankfully, we were affected only, I don't even know. I feel like really bad talking about it because there's been so much devastation that's happened on the coast and it's still, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, over 30 inches of rain and like nonstop. It boggles my mind, you know, but, we had about 24 hours of rain here. But it was very, not a big deal. Like, I mean, it was raining the entire time, but there was no like, oh my God, it's raining so much. It was like sprinkling, like light to medium, very little breeze. So we lucked out. I mean, but the thing is, everybody was prepared. And I think we lost a lot of time and preparation for this event. So there was a lot of buying extra things, making sure we were prepared for no power, making sure that we had enough water, like all of those things that you do, making sure that the goat's little enclosure was equipped to deal with higher winds and more rain and all of that stuff. So there was extra preparation. But then when the time happened, then it was like, okay, that was it.
I would think that living the way that you do, you are always prepared for those things. Like, aren't you always prepared for apocalyptic type things?
There is a general more preparedness, but we didn't have, I think that water was a big thing for us this time.
Oh,
and
okay, got it.
You know, so we had to get a lot more water for us just to have, because everybody's been drinking a lot more water, so we needed more of that. And also, we actually give the goats fresh water. Like, we give the goats not the water from the well or from the faucet, if you will.
Oh my God, they get bottled water.
Yes, they do, because we do not have, at this moment, we don't have the money, I guess, or like the resources at this time to get the water checked, meaning to see how much minerals not that there's bacteria. Well, the thing is, remember when when Pine had his pee-pee and clogged up and all that stuff, sometimes that also happens with mineral buildup, and it could be from well water. There's a possibility that the well water has more minerals of some type that make the balance of his innards be a little off. And that's something to testing. And that's actually something that they tell you. So we have to give them not well water.
Hold on.
So
do you have things in your basement that are filtering, salting, and demineralizing your water?
What basement?
Do you have anything on your property that is somehow doing something to your well water so that you do not get poisoned by it?
Yeah, well, there's a well outside the door. I mean, there's a well. I don't know. I guess. Yeah, there's something outside. There's a well.
So
and that's where it comes from.
It's just not good for goats.
Yes. Safety first. You have to understand that the chemistry that we were talking about and the research that we did when it has to do with him, and actually things could easily be fixed just to see what the mineral content is to be able to go like, oh, yeah, we have heavier built like this type of mineral in it that is the one. It's really subtle. It literally is like grain will kill him. Like eating grains will kill him because it's the balance of the mineral.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part, you know? I don't know about is goat maintenance. I just know about water, unfortunately.
Right.
For a different reason. So Elsie was posting all these amazing little Instagram stories of the goats, like for the last couple of days. And like, they do have such little distinct personalities that your goats. First of all, they respond to her voice truly like she's their mama. She'll go, hi, boys. And then you see their little tushies start to waggle. It's amazing. So cute.
They are very cute and you love them and they're like, they're adorable. And they're so cute. I love them so much. And I haven't been able to play with them today. But anyway.
They are so cute. I can't wait to meet them someday. They're adorable. They'll probably poo right on my shoe, but whatever. All right. So I guess we can get in. Before we get into the news, though, we have some feedback and a question about some stuff.
Yes, I know. So here we go with some feedback. And this was an email that we got from Jen. Do you want to read it? Do you want me to read it? Or do you want to like condense it? What do you want to do?
Do you have a preference?
Not really.
Okay. I'll read it. I don't care. Hi, Elsie and Jess. I'm Jen. My best friend and I host the Anomaly Podcast, an entertainment show all about sci-fi and fantasy movies, television shows, books, and games. We've both been members of SheP for many years. Even though we don't post that often, I wanted to let you know I appreciate you. I love you. You're everything I've ever wanted and more. Angela and I are 40-something moms. We totally identify with juggling work, family, and podcasting. Your stories about your husbands watching the kids while you record is very familiar. Our husbands don't always watch our kids, and the little ones sometimes end up on the show, which has happened to both of us at least once or twice. We started the show many moons ago. You can hear the progression of our lives through the old episodes. It's like time capsule. Those episodes contain announcement of cancer, victory over it, happy news when we were expecting babies, voices of those babies as they're growing up. They're not on our show very often, but they've become a part of the show, and our listeners mention them in a positive way. We've always made it known we're geeky moms. It's just a passion, not a job. That said, we received our first negative review in 11 years. Whoa, that's a long time.
That's what I'm saying. 11 years. Okay.
Personally, I think it makes us more legit, but it bothered my friend because the toddler this person's referring to is her baby. The episode she appears in is called The Anomaly of the Future. If you listen to what we call the intro to the intro, you can hear her tiny voice imitating baby Diana from the Wonder Woman film. She appears in a few more episodes, but it's brief. Our kids are rarely on the show. Most of the time, we use the cast call recorder. Recordings are quiet. On this occasion, we were able to record in the same room, and she happened to make her voice known a few times. The review is embedded. It doesn't bother me because it's one person's opinion, but I think you missed the fact that our podcast is called Anomaly. We're not most podcasters. We do the best we can. If our attempt isn't perfect, we make it as entertaining as possible. This review stung. She wants to address it. I don't think so I propose we have fun with it because whoever left the review probably isn't listening anymore and didn't finish this episode. So what do we care what they think? I want to have an actor read the review in a dramatic way. I'll add sinister music and we'll respond to it afterward, not with negativity. How would you respond to a review that was this personal? I've had so many more personal reviews than this. I think most would ignore it. I didn't ignore it because I apparently offended someone. This guy wasn't offended. He was just a skadoosh. But basically they said, I don't know why they think it's okay to have toddlers in the room. Most podcasters I hear are aggravated by that and try to avoid it. That's the only review. So it was like technically a question, not a statement. It just says, why do they think it's okay to have toddlers in the room? Let's just answer the question. It's okay to have toddlers in the room because your show is called Anomaly and because you're doing it how you can and because none of your goddamn business.
Well, and also, I mean, just to note, this is the first negative review in 11 years.
I mean, really, that's
this little toddler.
Is that even possible?
Wasn't alive when they started.
Right.
Right. So there's all kinds. And first of all, there's all kinds of learning. And sometimes you got to do what you got to do as a mom. It's not something that we do all the time.
Right.
I had to get used to it. I mean, the reason that Elsie's yoga class stopped is because I became a mom. It was way too much work. My life completely changed. I could no longer teach in the way that I was teaching before. So I kind of gave up because it was too much energy for me. With the Anomaly, it seems like they've been at it for 11 years. There's a baby. But it takes learning. You know, it takes learning to so you did this, and is it I think that if it was a constant thing, meaning they're doing this after 11 years and now every single time that they record, there is kids' voices in the background the whole entire time, I would consider trying to figure out another solution, because I'm sure that what would happen is if I listened back, I would be like, oh, you know what? Maybe we should do about this. And I don't even know if you can hear my children right now. In fact, I don't know, John, if you're going to be able to, I mean, I don't know if you hear it now, but I have both of my girls happily playing outside the door, and they're just playing, but their voices are louder right now. And I hope that they're.
I don't hear them, but I hear somebody hammering.
I don't hear anything.
You hear somebody hammering.
I hear like a bang, bang, bang through something. I don't know. I don't know if Randy was out fixing the pen or something.
No, he's not. He's not. No, there is no banging going on in my house right now.
That's weird.
Do not take that bit.
That is weird.
Sound.
Okay.
Mind you, it could be this. Is it this?
Nope.
No, it went away. Okay.
Yeah, it was. Did you hear it, Jess? It sounded like someone was hammering.
Yeah, just or she moved a fork or something. I mean, it could be anything. Mm.
So
something metal.
Okay. So Jen reached out to me a couple weeks ago about editing her show. She said, you know, one of the things about, you know, this show, it takes a lot of time and editing takes a lot of time. And so I went back and I listened to several episodes, as I do when someone says to me, hey, we'd like to talk to you about editing. I always want to go back and listen to the show so I know what I'm getting myself into. So I went back and I listened to this episode and other episodes. And this show is exactly named correctly. This show is an anomaly because it really doesn't fit a format. There's not really segments. They get in and talk about stuff. The beginning never really sounds the same every time. And I said, from an editing standpoint, it's going to be tough for me because I'm not in your head to edit the show because it's different every time. And then here's the other fact. I did hear where the toddler was in the background, and I was tending to listen to the toddler and not to the two of them talking because the toddler was in there doing stuff and talking. And I was like, what is she saying? What was that? What did she say? I didn't think it was annoying.
Right.
And it wasn't through the whole episode. It was only in the beginning.
That's why Elsie said, like, if it happens on a regular basis, you may want to reconsider not having it on a regular basis. That said, once in a while is not a big deal. But, like, when I had Isaac, and now that he's four, I specifically do not record on days he's home because and actually my other son is 20. He does the same fucking thing. They just can't not interrupt you if you're in the same building. I don't know how. I mean, Elsie's recorded with us many times, and I guarantee you there's some point in every single episode where we're on mute and she's doing one of these, I can't talk right now. Go take yourself. Right? I mean, you probably do it every time, right? Yeah.
We used to do that so much. And I, you know, in all honesty, I don't know how, given the setup that I have now, I don't know how we would have been able to do it, Jess, because that was happening, which was almost every single time we recorded. We were recording on Ecamm call recorder, and in the computer, like in Ecamm, you can mute. So I would mute all that stuff. And even when I, on my track, since I was muted, it actually never caught all of that stuff. So all of that was never on my track. Versus now when we're doing a straight up double ender, I don't have in the ATR 2100 or in the H6 at this moment a way to mute the mic. So it's kind of like it's going to be in. It's just going to be in. Like I'm able to, like, let's say, mute the phone because we are connected in the phone, and then you and Jess or are not going to hear me talk to my girls, but John, you as you're like editing, you will hear all of that. It'll just be in the track. So you're going to have to take it out. But
then again, keep in mind, Elsie, that your girls are home with you all the time. They are homeschooled.
Yes, they are.
So, so they are probably used to you being on the phone and not being able to interrupt, whether you're recording or whether you're on with a client or whatever. Like, you've probably trained them well. Better than most.
Now they are.
First of all, now that they're seven and nine, right? Or seven and how old are they now? Seven and ten.
Seven and Hunter's going to be 10 soon. Yeah.
So, like, they should be well trained to get the I'll kill you look if they open their mouths while the microphone is on. Whoever's talking in her background, a toddler, they don't have that necessarily. So, Like when they were four, I don't know how, I think she just, like I said, she, like she was saying, she just muted it and spoke to them. Whereas like, I don't record at all. Mm-hmm. If he's here, I try not to do it at all. If he's home sick and I have to record, I reschedule. If I'm, you know, if there's a Jewish holiday, I reschedule because I don't even want to get a babysitter anymore. Fuck it. I'll just record some other time.
Yeah.
It's not worth it for me to be in the same house because remember when he was one and I had a nanny in the house mm-hmm. and every once in a while you would still hear kaboom. Hi, mama, yep. mama. Like he couldn't, mm-hmm. he could not handle being away from me.
Yeah, he would come. I remember one time when I was editing for Daniel, Daniel had Elsie as a guest and Elsie was in there. And in the middle of the interview, Daniel's talking and I think Maymay came in. And there was a heated discussion between the two of them over something. I forget what it was, but I had to take that all out of the track. And it was and Maymay was not. I don't know any look that would have stopped Maymay from trying to get what she wanted at that time.
Maymay is not easily bribed.
So my big thing is that if one person has this opinion, who cares? Really? I mean, to be honest, I know it's up there, okay, and I would wear it as a badge of honor. And if they want somebody to give them a horrible read of that to make fun of, I'm volunteering my services to be the grumpy, horrible reviewer. I will do that for them.
I agree. That would be awesome. It is a badge of honor. And then if you want to address it, I wouldn't address it seriously. I would do what you're saying. And like, I mean, what you're actually saying about hiring someone to read it is almost like a little over the top because
it's perfect. Let them have it.
It's perfect?
Yes.
Because it's their first negative review ever, unless they do like a whole, and now the anomaly's first negative review ever. Other than that, it may sound like you can't take criticism.
No, it's like you can, but this guy's such a, I mean, for whoever did this, it's so childlike.
I mean,
it's ridiculous. True. And then I would fire them as a listener. I would say, you know what? If you're listening right now, turn it off. You're not allowed to listen anymore. You don't get the joke. You don't get the concept of this show because the show, it's a neat show. It's a really cool show, what they talk about and the way that they do everything. And just the fact that one person, and again, it wasn't maybe if I'm, and I might be even going long here, 3 minutes, not even out of the whole hour that they did or half hour. It's ridiculous. The whole thing's ridiculous. I wouldn't even give it the time and the energy to be worried about this. I'd be, look at this douche and be done with it.
Yeah, it's just so, yeah, it is just annoying that somebody would do that. And I think part of it is just, you don't, and then here's the other thing. It's so weird that that's on, like what it takes for somebody to do that in Apple Podcasts, like for them to go out of their way. Like there's so many people that are like, oh, so many people have left me a review and I can't find it. And everybody, please give me a review for the show. And nobody does that. And then this person goes in and does this. It's so that I think that's what makes me mad. The other thing is, though, somebody could read that review and they listen to the show and they're like, what are they talking about? Because that might be the only time it happens.
I mean,
out of 11
don't forget
years.
Someone accused me of being anti-Semitic.
Oh my God.
That's
like everything that was an email. Perspective.
You know, to be honest with you, if Apple wanted to do podcast listeners and podcasters a service, they would do away with the reviews because they're useless.
And people think that, I know, they are useless. And the way that people game them and ask for swaps, they're even more useless than Apple even intended for them to be. Apple probably intended it for be like ask like Amazon, but it can't be like Amazon because no one's asking for review swaps on fucking Amazon. Oh, podcasters are the only dicks that would ever be like swap for swap, like for like on, you know, Twitter. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And they're not
annoying.
Anyway, yeah.
No, but and the last thing that I'll say about that is that if that was the case, if they would give the functionality that the app store now has, which is that they allow people to respond to reviews, because in the app store, what tends to happen is sometimes there's a release, right? There's a release, there's an update to the app for whatever reason, that functionality that you loved about the app is no longer there, or it's crashing, or it's not working, or something. And then the people will go into the app store and then go off like crazy. Like, oh my God, this is the suckiest thing you've ever done. Why did you change things? This is awful. And it's scathing. But it's really just about that one update that was fixed on the next update. And so they've given the app developers the opportunity to respond to these reviews. So there's actual communication there. And then somebody who is wanting that app doesn't get all upset or doesn't download the app because they're like, ooh, this one sucks. But actually it does. So
that's a great idea. That would be
maybe
better.
Maybe they could do that. Yep.
My thing was I had something else that just popped into my mind that was going on in the editor's room about show titles and Apple taking down podcasts because of people spamming the title of their podcast.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit about that in the news. How about that? We'll move into that for the news. Are we ready to move into the news?
The news you can use for the informed podcaster, podcasting news.
Okay. But
all right.
This is so annoying.
Here we go, yo. Here we go.
So it seems like the latest in the podcasting space right now is that Apple Podcast, and this, mind you, this is not new. It's just that now they're really following up. But Apple Podcast and the Apple team is really coming down on people who have qualifiers in their show titles inside of Apple Podcasts. And this is actually something that I was teaching in the past to my clients, because there are only a few areas inside of your Apple Podcasts where you can, that are searchable, meaning that if you put in a keyword, or if you're searching for pregnancy, or like, you're not going to go inside of Apple Podcasts to first to search for a specific podcast itself, unless you, that's exactly what you're looking for. But it, let's say you want to, you know, learn about, I'm just using pregnancy because that's one of the easiest things to, you know, think about. Like, you're pregnant, you kind of want pregnancy podcasts. So you'll go inside iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and you're going to go, oh, I want pregnancy podcast. And that's what you're going to search for. But if your title is called Big Bellies, Big Belly Mama, or something like that,
yeah, right,
and it doesn't say
that's my next
pregnancy
show
in the title.
Don't tell everyone my next show.
Big Belly Mama. But So you know what I mean? That nobody's going to find that, because that's a pregnancy podcast. So it would be like Big Belly Mama's a pregnancy podcast for new moms, something like that. That's what the title would, I would have advised in the past to my clients, add that to the end so that people can find your show. But now Apple is really coming down on anybody who does anything like that. They literally just want your title. And they also just want your names in the author tags. Like, they just want your names, like no qualifiers, nothing saying what you are or anything like, or what kind of work you do or anything like that. They just want your names. And people who are wanting to be in Apple Podcasts are getting rejected left and right if they are not adhering to this. And then podcasts that have been in iTunes or Apple Podcasts forever are getting just booted. Like, all of a sudden they're out and you don't even know what happened. You're just out. So this has been huge. And they're wanting to get people to stop keyword spamming, which was a lot. The majority of marketers are the ones that were doing things like that, where they were adding a bazillion other words to both the title and the author tag just to come up on search results. And so I understand why they're doing that. And we don't want that either.
Right.
Let me give you an example that Dave Jackson shared with us of somebody who was essentially removed from Apple Podcasts. This is a podcast that had been there in the past. The Artful Camera. Okay. So Artful, this is what it was, and this is why it was removed. Artful Camera, Analog and Digital Photography and Filmmaking. That's why it was removed. Because
that's not a tagline. A tagline of an explanation is okay. It's called keyword stuffing too. Stuffing your title with keywords is rotten. It's a rotten thing to do. So they don't want you to do it anymore.
Absolutely.
I wrote something about this for podcast websites too.
But I don't think this should have done it though, because Artful Camera, what is that?
It's a photography show. It's obvious.
It's about photography, but it's like, of course we would kind of know that, but if somebody's searching for photography, is that going to come up?
Yes.
No, it's not.
No, you're right.
No, it's not. It's not going to come up.
Then it should be the Artful the Artful Camera, a photography podcast, and then it wouldn't have been like they've got all the. I mean, somebody must be doing it by hand. It can't be a formula that's pulling those shows. It has to be being done by hand. They're looking at. Do you think? How do you think they're?
No, it's not doing. It's not doing by hand. But here's what I'm gleaning. Anything that is not a word. So the way that this split up is, it said Artful Camera, and then they had like one of those, not a dash, but like a standing up line. You know, like an L, like a straight line up and down. So it said Artful Camera and a straight line up and down, and then it said Analog and Digital Photography and Filmmaking. So I think that what Apple Podcast is doing is it's looking at dashes, lines, colons,
no way,
commas.
Can't be, or we would have been we would have been pulled too, because ours is.
That's because I removed it. I removed it.
You removed it.
I removed it. Yes, we could. We.
But it's a tagline.
If you want to test it, go for it. But I really don't want to sit here. I did the same thing for the feed. I removed the colon that was after the feed, the official Lip Sync podcast. It used to be the feed colon, the official Lip Sync podcast. I also changed the colon is out. So it's about those extra characters that they're putting in there.
Then how are people, listen, part of doing the show though is explaining what your show is. So what you're saying is, did you remove the character or did you just remove the whole part where it says a podcast for women about, I mean, what did you remove? I didn't even look.
I just put She Podcasts. It just says She Podcasts.
So first of all, not like people will find it in search anyway, but how are people feeling like they're supposed to be, I mean, now I'm mad.
Exactly. Actually, John, did you see the, what do you call that? Oh my gosh. You know, when you get people's signatures, what is that called?
Petition.
Thank you.
Petition. A petition. That's right. There is a petition going around right now. It's looking for 100 people to sign up. I'll put a link in the show notes so that you guys
can
see it.
I'm signing.
Where it says we, as in like podcasters, are wanting to change this because it's not being helpful, because there are only certain areas where, and the confusion here is that you don't know what they're looking for. Like it doesn't, there's no parameters. It's very vague. So it can literally be anything and they'll just remove it because you don't know what the algorithm is. You don't know who's looking at it. You don't know who's making the decisions.
I don't think it should be an algorithm, but I do think they should get rid of people who are like interviews with
exactly. Well, that stuff, of course, that stuff makes sense. But there's been so many people that have simply a definition about what the show is about, especially.
Yeah, you can't do it via algorithm. That's bullshit.
But now they're doing it because I think of the, you know, whatever, the colons or the lines or the dashes and commas and semicolons and all of that stuff. So that's what we've been advising at Libsyn, to take off any and not to add any of those extra characters. It's just the language of the show. Because the feed, like what is so frustrating is that it does have a lot of words. Like it said, it's called the feed, the official Libsyn podcast. That could be construed as like a lot more, right? It could just
There's no part of the official Libsyn podcast that is keyword stuffing. It's asinine. That's my point.
Right. Here's the problem, though. Let's say they did say, like, they'll come back to us and they say, like, it's too much or whatever, too many words, whatever that is. Then we would go down to the feed. There's actually, I think, six separate podcasts in Apple Podcast that are called the feed.
I know.
That's their. And so how would people know which one?
They wouldn't.
I would say, right? Your logo would be the terminal. You type in the feed and the first thing you see is the Libsyn logo, the green lines and all that. Yeah. That would draw me to that podcast over something else.
Right. But the thing is, it's like if somebody's listening to us, or Rob is doing a presentation somewhere and then he says, subscribe to my podcast, the feed, and somebody sees it, whatever, or writes it down and then they go and search for it and they write the feed, they're going to have to be like, what? And thankfully now, though, Jess, if somebody writes She Podcasts, we come up in the search algorithm pretty.
We're not always first.
Pretty quickly. No, we're not always. No, I'm not saying we're first. I'm saying we come up in the top part of the algorithm really
now.
Like, so come a lot.
Now, but you used to have to find it by typing Kupferman, for Christ's sake, because like it
yes,
never
you
came
used
up.
To, yep. But it's taken a while, and now, no. So
yeah.
So what cracks me up about this whole petition thing is you don't pay to have your podcast put in iTunes, all right, to submit your feed to iTunes. It doesn't cost you a dime, and everybody is based their, well, I shouldn't say everybody, a lot of podcast catchers have based their, whatever they do, the voodoo that they do, to draw from Apple. So now, if tomorrow Apple decided to take podcasts out of Apple Podcasts and do away with it, because how are they making money off of this? They're not making a dime off a podcast. You're not buying anything from them or anything. If they decided to drop this tomorrow, podcasters would find a tall building to leap off of. They wouldn't know what to do. All right? So they're over there. They're like, you know what? You see this service that we're not paying for and we don't give you a dime for? We want this, 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 this. And now, and I got a bunch of signatures right here to tell you to do this. And Apple's like, what? They crumbled up and throw it right in the trash.
Yeah, they don't care.
Well, you never know. And I mean, I totally understand, but you never know. Maybe they will listen. Maybe they will listen to a unified people talking about what they
have
would like.
Changed anything they've been asked to change? Like, has anyone ever asked them to change anything, and have they done it? I'm just curious if we
they do. They have done it. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to do the thing. Like there's been requests to add episode numbers to Apple Podcasts when it's not an episodic show.
Interesting.
And we are still waiting on that. I think that there might be some communication, and they're really looking at it from the aesthetic perspective. So Apple really loves things to be clean and pretty, especially when it comes to that. And they're trying to use up as much space as possible, and adding an episode number to the information that is shown could make it look a little cluttered, and they don't like that. So, but we need it, right? Because that's more of something that we need to see from a usability perspective versus a pretty perspective, right? There's conversation, but they have implemented things that have been asked of them. I would say that they're more receptive to feedback for the developers along the entirety of the OS, of the totality of Mac OS and iOS versus an app, right? A lot of the time, but they do this. I mean, they do take feedback. It just takes them, I think, a little bit more time to make decisions or take actions for us. But it's happened. But who knows? Maybe, hey, I don't know. Maybe that's what needs to happen.
I think the best way, I mean, the way to fix this is to be able to make the subtitle searchable, and then to give them three keywords, and that's it. If you put any more than three keywords in, we're booting you. But see, the thing about Apple was they told you not to do it. Then they took down a couple big shows.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a shot across
our
the bow.
Our first episode was about this exact topic.
Right. So then they threw a couple shots across the bow saying, listen, if you don't pay attention, we're going to take your show down. And then they waited. And then some people did it. And then the other people just said, eh. And now they're taking them down. And now they're all upset about it. So, again, I just think that it's their, really, to be honest with you, it's their platform. We're just dancing on it. So I really don't think we have much to say about it, to be quite honest with you. And that's why a lot of people say don't build your platform on don't build your house on somebody else's platform.
Well, you're not. You are, but you're not. Building it on Libsyn is not the same as building it on someone else's platform.
Well, you mean building it on
Apple. Yeah, but it's not Libsyn.
I meant Libsyn. I'm saying building it on iTunes, you have to have it other places. That's why Libsyn allows you to do it everywhere so that you don't just rely on Apple.
I think the issue here, and I think John is absolutely correct, and I think that this is something to really think about it from the developer's perspective, is that most of the apps are built on the Apple Podcast API. So the information that comes and is already filled up in all of the apps that we use, the third-party apps that I really love, like Castro and Overcast and things like that, are built on the Apple Podcast API. It's pulling from that information. It is a vast amount, a catalog. that the developer can just tap into, and boom, you've got all the stuff. And so that makes it easy for people to immediately start to use that platform. If you're going to start to manually add that information, or where else, like, there's no other place where you could tap into and easily pull that out. Possibly now Google Podcast is building something like this. Maybe at some point there might be an API or a way to pull all of that information that Google Podcast is building now. Maybe there's going to be a way to tap into that. But really, that's kind of where it is. There's no hub where you get all that data, as well as, I mean, they've got since 2004. They have data built up since then, 2005.
Anyways. Do you think they didn't? You don't think they just threw it away and said, nobody's going to want to see this?
Well, I don't think that they're going to just like make it disappear, but holy.
It would be awesome if they were just like, all of a sudden, here's all your stats since 2004.
Oh my God. Oh my
Wouldn't that God. Be so fun? There would be a parade in the fucking streets, people.
I have a.
Oh my God.
Let me just ask you this. So let's say I decided tomorrow to build a platform where you can submit your RSS feed to my platform, and I'm going to charge you $25 a year to host your podcast on my platform, and it can go.
You mean to pull the information out, not to host it?
Right. I'm sorry. You're correct. Okay. So what happens is you're going to pull from my platform, from your hosting or whatever. You're going to pull from there. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make my own. I'm going to emulate Apple Podcasts, but I'm just going to make it my own. It's just going to be called Podcast Directory. And then Castro and Overcast and all, they can draw from that just like that. And I will make keywords. You can have four. Your subtitles will be searchable. Your titles will be searchable. But if you start spamming, you're out. And it's going to cost you $25 a year for your podcast. Would you do it? Would you pay for that?
I don't think the majority of people would.
So, again, here, I'm going to give you a better product, but because I have to do all this work, because Apple, if they decided to go with this, that costs them real money to have developer, you know, to have their people go in there and change all this. Mm-hmm. And what are they getting for that? Bupkis. Isn't that the word, zilch. Jess? Bupkis?
Yep. My mom used to say, what are we having for dinner? And she would say bupkis and zilch.
There we go.
Which means, yeah.
So nobody's That's perfect. Stopping yeah. all these people that are signing this petition to go out and make their own that would be better, and then to take back the cost and say, okay, well, you can put it in my directory, and I'll give you all this, and everybody can pull from mine, and it's going to cost you $25 a year. What? $25? Now I'll just go over here and complain to Apple. Mm-hmm. So, right. again.
And it's essentially that, it, again, that is essentially what it is. And also, you have to remember, too, the amount of, I don't even know how to quantify this, but they've been around for so long. So they have years upon years upon years of being the thing, right? Imagine what it takes for somebody to change what you're doing already. We've talked about this so many different times. Habits are so hard to break. And also, we are used to doing things one way. It is so hard to change somebody to do something different. And they are hosting over 550,000 podcasts. That's how much data they have. There's no way you can mobilize 550,000 people to, I mean, we're trying when it comes to vote, yeah, voter registration easily. And voting. And that's right. having a, you know, how is that working out? So yeah. it's like,
not great
it's,
so far.
It really would be so hard to mobilize that. Now, actually, speaking of data, which is great because this is a great segue for the next thing. Have you checked out Podchaser, guys? We actually talked about this in episode 169, and it's titled, it's the one about Lewis Howes and doggy eye boogers. And this was when Podchaser was initially kind of announced. We talked about it in the news yeah. section there.
I'm on here.
And
I
it was like the IMDb of podcasting. I think we barely kind of touched base on it. It was like in November 1st, 2017 mm-hmm. when this was coming out via PR and stuff like that. And so now they've been around for a while, under the radar, if you will. But now they're doing some really lovely things. Like, I kind of really dig them. I reached out to Cole from Podchaser, and he created these really neat sort of Podchaser screenshots of what the profile pages are going to look like for Podchaser. And so he showed me the mobile thing, and he made one for, like, the website stuff. And they didn't have profiles before. And what that means is that it'll be like, somebody can go into Podchaser and look for me, my name, just like in IMDb, and my podcast will come up, but also all of the different shows that I've been on will also come up. And you can kind of listen to any episodes that I've been on, or you can listen to my show. It has a way to subscribe to the shows, and it has information about me. And it's also opened up not just for podcasters, but also for guests. So let's say there's been some people who really have only been on podcasts, but they don't have their own podcast. This is a great way to go look for it. So if I'm doing research on a specific author or a filmmaker, or I want to know if they've been on a podcast, this would be a really great place to go check on them for research or purposes, or if I'm obsessed with something, which is great. One thing that I love about it is that you get an opportunity to subscribe or listen to a show in Podchaser, not in Podchaser, but they have a link in there where if you want to, like, let's say, subscribe to She Podcasts, they would click whatever link, and it actually allows you to listen to the show in your app of choice, which I thought was really cool.
Wow.
And they've been really cool. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, I just went over there and I put my name in there. And all these podcasts that I've been a guest on, they're all in here.
Yeah.
I know.
That's amazing.
It's very cool. And I'm sure that there's few that you forgot you were on.
Absolutely, there was.
That's what happened to me. I was like, oh my God, I was on that show like 5 years ago.
Right.
Oh my God, here I am on Starve the Doubts. That's when I sang Journey with Jared Easley.
Oh my gosh. And so
even,
crazy.
Like, even if they mention me in the show notes, I'm in here.
I know.
That's really cool. Look at that. And you can claim your show. Like, you can go in there. So Jess and John, if you guys want to claim She Podcasts as your show, you can do it. And then what happens is you get the email. Like, the email is going to come, I think, into info@shepodcast.com. And once it comes through there, then obviously I would just have to allow it. Whatever that is. You know, Jess, you could do it. I'm thinking for John, it would be a little bit more challenging, but maybe we can just like forward it to you and then you can click it or whatever so that you can, that happens on your end. But I think that it has possible, like I really like it. Now, Rob, you know, my co-host, Rob Walsh from The Feed, his thought is that it's not going to work because almost of the same thing that we were just talking about with Apple Podcasts, and it has nothing to do with the concept being super crazy, but the fact that IMDb exists. And if IMDb decided they were now going to add podcasts to the mix, that would be genius because the data that's already in IMDb is already available. And the other thing that IMDb does that Podchaser at this moment does not have is that Podchaser needs us to participate. They need us to be egocentric, if you will, and want to be in here and get excited and put our information in there. And IMDb, actually, you don't need that. Like, I have an IMDb page. I never put that stuff in there. They just, however they get information in there, it goes in there. And anytime that my name is mentioned, it's already pre-populated. Versus Podchaser, right now, it requires people to put the data in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the only way that it can work is if people engage with it. And if nobody touches it, it's going to stay at where it is. So that's why they're doing. Oh, and the reason that I'm bringing them up is because for the month of September, if you want to get to be first when the creator profiles are opened up to everybody, then you sign up now. So you get dibs on that. But also you have the opportunity to get a free sticker and t-shirt. Sticker and t-shirt from TeePublic. If you sign up over at podchaser.com/creator, I think that's what it is, or creators. And you can do that. So they're giving a free t-shirt of your show, not of Podchaser, but of your show via TeePublic. So check it out.
Pretty fun.
Yeah, and I just went over there and claimed one of my podcasts. It's very easy to do. You go in there, you claim it, they send you an email, it gives you a code, you put the code in, and boom, it says, hey, mm-hmm. you are the owner of this podcast.
Yeah, pretty easy stuff. Easy, easy. Lemon squeezy.
It's pretty easy. And also, you can claim it also if you're a guest. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you claim the show, but they are going to have a way to pull that information, one versus the other. So that's also something to think about when you're doing that. But anyway.
Cool.
So that's Podchaser. You guys check it out. Cole is looking for feedback. So if you guys have any feedback, please email feedback@shepodcast.com and I'm happy to pass it on to him. So I just like the fact that, you know, he's been really supportive and open to receive information. So anyway,
yay!
That is all. Yay!
And what's there, another woman's podcast network being launched? Boy, you ladies are just doing it.
I know. Well, this one's with Reese Witherspoon. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So we mentioned it in last episode, but this time is Reese Witherspoon is helping lead the charge for women in podcasting. So she has kind of like her company, I guess, Hello Sunshine. Or no. Oh, that's right. Hello Sunshine has partnered with content studio Rooster Teeth to power its new podcast network, The Beam. So I guess it's called The Beam. How about that? And it will specifically target a female audience and will host both original and curated podcasts. So how about that?
Hang on.
What?
The name of the show is called what now?
No, this is not the show. This is the podcast network. It's called The Beam.
The Beam.
Oh, Beam with an Beam. M.
Right.
Yes, The Beam.
Oh, as in like, I thought they were being dirty.
No. Why would...
Oh,
I don't think Reese Witherspoon
Jessica.
Is. I don't think she's like, she's so not like, let's just be double entendre. That's not Reese Witherspoon.
Nice French accent, Elsie.
Thanks. See, when I heard Beam, I was thinking of Beam of Sunshine or Beam of Light.
Now that part, yes, Beam with an M is not, in fact, filthy, dirty. Well, it's not filthy. Shouldn't say that. But like, Beam with an N, you guys don't understand what I'm getting at here.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I have no idea. Totally over my head.
Well, another slang word for clitoris is bean.
Really? Oh, great. Yeah.
Yes. Really?
This is so not says. Obviously, why can't you just say the names? Like,
instead of choking the chicken, women flick the bean.
I don't even, what? See, you know what I was thinking? The bean, the little bean as in like a baby, like the little bean. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I thought.
That's also a good use for it, but not what I was thinking.
It's official. You ladies actually made me uncomfortable on an episode.
Great. There you have it. All the time with this conversation, of course.
Why? Why are you uncomfortable because of the bean? That's so.
Because Elsie doesn't know what, and you're talking about it, and it's just, I'm red as a beet over here. Look at me.
I totally don't know. Now I know, but at the same time, I've never seen it.
It's almost like I'm corrupting you, Elsie. Meanwhile, exactly. You're the mother of two children.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
It does.
I have no, like, this is the first time. I'm 40. How old am I? 46 years old.
Right.
I just found out what that is. Thank God.
No, but the point is...
Obviously, I haven't needed it.
I, of course, am the one to corrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I haven't needed to know this.
I mean, technically,
should I relay my information to Randy and tell him, go find the bean? Will he know what I'm saying?
Is he right
there?
Or
will he look at me like,
Is he near you? If he's near you, ask him if he knows what the
he's
bean
not here.
Is
slang
you have to do that, and that's homework for next. You have to ask him that.
Okay, I'll ask him.
And report back.
Tell me if he knows what the... He has to know.
Make sure he has a full mouth of water when you ask him.
He's a man. They certainly use it much more often than women do. No one's ever said it to you, Elsie, because you're a lovely young lady. No one's been like, so, Elsie, do you flick the bean? But like, I've been in enough
stupid...
Yeah, that's
not been... That's not something anybody has ever said to me.
Until now.
No. Until now.
And of course,
so now
it's
we know.
Me.
And now we know.
It would have to be me.
And so anyway.
I'm so.
Let's try to get this train back on the tracks.
Yeah. So Rooster Teeth is launched. It's partnered with Hello Sunshine. And there you have it. Maybe they can have a whole entire show about looking for the bean, which would be applicable, I think. It's a great, they say, it's a great privilege for us to welcome Hello Sunshine to the Roost Network of Creators. So there you have it. I mean, it seems like, and also note, I mean, and if anybody's interested, check it out. It actually said that they are looking to create original and curated podcasts. So I'm assuming that there is an opening to your work if you fit under that demographic. So get on it, ladies, if you think you have a network, focused, you could be part of this network. So there is that.
Elsie's tool tips.
What do you have to say, Jess, about tool tips? What do you think about this tool tip?
They're fun. I don't know. You know what's funny is that coincidentally and unrelatedly, I just re-downloaded Periscope just to see if anything's changed or who's on it and if anyone ever still uses it. And apparently they do, because I guess they've been testing like a audio only broadcast feature. I'm not sure how it's going to work. I guess I'm interested to see how the fuck it's going to work.
I tried it and it wouldn't work for me.
Oh, great.
Right. I tried it and it said,
how do you do it?
Well, I think you go to Twitter and then you, oh God, I wish I would have tested this.
I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah, you do go to Twitter, and then at Twitter it says go live, and that's where I stop, because then it tells you go live, and I didn't want to go live video.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted it to tell me right away what to do, and I kind of got scared to press the next button, because, but then what I read is that it gives you an option. It says go live, and then once you go live, then it gives you the option of going to audio or video, but I didn't.
Wrong. I just figured it out. Here's what happens. You click the live button.
Yes.
Then when it's up, you click the microphone. When the microphone, it says enable audio only broadcast.
Right.
Then if you click go live, we are live while taping She Podcasts, and there is no camera on me. It is just audio. And so we're just testing this feature as I'm recording with Elsie to see how it's going. I'm going to stop now, but if you can hear it, please feel free to reply to this Twitter message and let me know how it sounds. What do you think? How's it going?
Now, it's funny because I have the same thing, but it says we've encountered an error sharing your broadcast on Twitter. Please try again. Error
really?
311.
Really?
But for some reason, it's actually recording me and there's no camera. And after we get done this, I will go back to see if there's any audio here. Because this is a test of the emergency podcasting system. If this was an actual podcast emergency,
that's great.
I don't know what we'd be doing. We would run around.
Go on my Twitter and test it. Let's test the audio and see what it sounds like.
Okay. Well, let's not do that.
All right. So here's the other thing, though, Jess. This is something that I really like, though. In She Podcasts, somebody, and I'm sorry, podcaster, that I don't know your name, but she shared her thing, her Twitter, whatever, inside of the She Podcast group. And it's awesome. It's so cool because I think it has a built-in player and it shows up right within the feed.
Ooh,
and I think you can play it from there. I played it and it looked really cool. And so you can, I believe you can share whatever that is into Facebook. And I thought, oh, that was really cool. And it looked really nice. It looked very slick as a post. So, but I haven't tested it myself. I don't know what that is, but hey, Jess, if you can find out how to share it, maybe to the Super Squad, let's share it to the Super Squad.
How did the person share it? Via Periscope or via Twitter?
I do not know. I think maybe via Periscope. I think that might be the thing because I think Twitter and Facebook don't really get along very well.
All right. So I'm in Periscope and let me go to my own thing here. And it says broadcasts. Jessica Kupferman was live. I open it, and it's just me talking. Oh, wait.
Fun.
There is a share. Okay. You can pause. If you there's the little up button. There's like the little share button. Yeah, you can totally share it to Facebook or Twitter, or there's a share link perhaps to post on Instagram. I don't know. But, yeah, I can share it to Facebook.
Perhaps just copy and paste it inside of the Super Squad. I think you should do that.
Yes,
copy and paste it inside the Super Squad group and just paste it in there and say, hey, guys, can you check this out?
This is me testing audio only Periscope on Twitter and then sharing to Facebook. Not complicated at all.
No, not at all. But still, though, I mean, it's funny that we're sharing it on Facebook, but alas, it's been created by Twitter so that more people can engage via Twitter, because it seems like all of that live streaming or live broadcasting from Twitter has really diminished like big time. So they're trying to up the game there and come back into the scene, into the live broadcasting space. It's just that Facebook.
I have something else to tell you.
Oh, what? What is it?
Not only can you share this, But you can share it from a specific time.
Holy monkeys, that's perfect.
So, like, it gives you a choice. Share from beginning or share from where you are. I don't think I shared it from the beginning by accident, but that is so cool.
That's neat. Well, that's something. That's cool.
I know. And it's already had 4 viewers on Periscope. Who are you people? I haven't been on Periscope in 2 years.
Well, now you know that you still got people. Well, maybe it's because nobody's doing anything. They're like, oh my God, somebody's live.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe, right?
I've seriously not been in here in so freaking long. It's crazy.
But that's cool, guys. So check it out.
That is
It could be kind of fun.
That's so cool. I'm excited. Sorry. I think a frog jumped in my throat while I was talking to you. So weird and wild show of the week. Are we doing that?
Yeah. Let's do that real quick and just kind of like, even though they're not really weird and wild, but let's do it.
Weird and wild.
Weird and wild.
Weird and wild. Show of the week.
I just wanted to hear them do the jingle. So Ellen and The View now have their own podcast. Ellen through Wondery, the network Wondery, and The View through, the stuff.
I think it's just straight up through their network. I think it's straight through the network.
CBS? No.
I believe that that's how they're doing it. From what it is, ABC. ABC talk show. It says that, that's right, they're going to have it everywhere.
Yep.
So there you have it. But I haven't listened to it, and they're going to be going into ABC radio. Yeah, for sure.
So basically, they're just repurposing the TV show as a podcast?
Yes, I think so.
It seems like that's the thing. So there you have it. I don't know. I guess it's for season 22, whatever that is. You know, and this is an article from Radio Inc. You can find a link in the show notes for all of the things that we're talking about so you can see that we're not just making it up as we go. You can look at the link in the show notes there. But that's interesting. I mean, I haven't listened to it, but there's that.
I mean, as John was saying earlier, it's going to be hard to listen to because if you're not watching it, you can't tell who's interrupting who. Kind of like this show right here. Mm-hmm. And
well, John cleans us up.
And they don't have an amazing editor like me.
They don't have, right. They have to just go with it. They can't audio edit the way that we can. Nah, 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 nah.
Time shift and all that good stuff.
Yeah. What are they going to do? So it's if you like The View and you don't have time to watch TV because you have a life and do other things, then this is a good way to go, I think. Mm-hmm. Try it out.
That'll be kind of fun. And actually, coming back and kind of answering back or recircling to last episode's Weird and Wild Story of the Week, which was Dr. Death, I have to say that I binged on it. I finished as many episodes. I think that there's one releasing tomorrow because we're recording like Monday, like literally a week before you guys listen to this. That's when we recorded the show. So there's that. But I kind of dug it. I actually was, I mean, yes, it was a little bit kind of like inducing when you first listen to it because it's really kind of graphic about what this guy did. But then it becomes more disturbing, not so much about the guy, but more about why did nobody do anything, because he got away with lots of things that he should not have been doing. And that's what my mouth is like, what? I'm just gaping because there were so many things that happened that that could have prevented so much of this. And in doing so, it makes me terrified about going into a hospital. It makes me terrified because if there's this much red tape about firing somebody for what he was doing, which was people were in the room watching, and they also knew that he was high because he was high. There was a lot of he had a drug problem. He would come in high, like after like being coked out of his mind for a day, he would show up and come and do surgeries.
Oy.
And people knew, and the people that were in the room with him knew that he was messing things up.
Why didn't they do anything?
Because there's so much, like the hospitals essentially would say, if they fire him, if we fire him, he's going to sue us. They would literally, every single person was afraid that he would get sued, that the hospital would get sued.
They're going to get sued now.
Well, it was honestly, that's what made me much more disturbed. It, obviously, his story, meaning he was just a demented psychopath, the end, like there's no question about that. But what's really disturbing is the way that it was handled. No one did anything. There were complaints. There were people saying, like, how is he even going? Like, stop him. Stop him. And nobody did. Nobody did, dude.
That's crazy.
Nobody said anything. It's
insane. That is the creepiest shit ever, but it makes me, it reaffirms what I already know, which is our healthcare system is some frightening ass shit. I could go on all day, all day, all day about it, all day.
Yeah, it is worth a listen. And again, maybe it will do something. Maybe it will bring to light the bureaucracy that is just pathetic and evil. Because if somebody would have done something, there were a lot of people that would not have been hurt in the way that they were hurt by a long shot. And if we think about being complicit, it just makes you start to think about, like, when is enough enough? Like, if you were working, like, there were people who were working for him. There were nurses that were in the room with him. There were other doctors who were doing their best to get somebody to say something. But it wasn't very many. And nobody was doing their due diligence. Like, there was no way to stop this. And finally, he was stopped. But because some of the doctors actually took it to the FBI, I think that's how they stopped it. It wasn't because the hospitals did anything. It's because they took it to the authorities. They took it to the FBI. So
I tried to listen and I couldn't because I don't do horror
medical?
Well. No, because of the horror part of it.
Oh.
And this was so horrific that I was like, you know what? I like to try things, but this, I'm not having nightmares over this podcast because it's well done. And
yeah, it is.
And it's the closest thing to audio horror that I've ever heard. Well, yes. Not that I go looking for it, but it's intense.
It is intense, but it actually goes, it doesn't stay at that level. That first episode, I think, is perhaps the most, as you go through it, it does become a little less horrible about that and more, again, like disturbing in the sense of all the other conversations, like how you kind of want to go like, are you kidding me? When you hear conversations with the administration and the hospitals and what the hospital said and how the nurses are saying things, and you're just like, are you kidding me? Oh.
I might have to go back and listen to episode 2 because I couldn't get through episode 1. Maybe
yeah,
I'll
just
start
to
it too.
Like skip. Yeah, skip it. It's really good. And the other show that I really, really dug is called The Teacher's Pet. It is another bingeable, and I did binge through the entire thing, and it's an Australian kind of like serial-ish kind of thing, but it's really great. It's reporting about a woman who went missing in 1982, I think she went missing, and nobody brought her husband because everybody thinks her husband did it, but nobody, he essentially said she left. But it's really well done. I really love the way that the reporting was done. That's not like a serial as in like with lots of music and all of this, like, and now we go to the blah, blah, like that kind of stuff. It's very just reporting in the best way possible. I really love The Teacher's Pet, and it's gotten a lot of the reason that I started to listen to it is because finally, because of the podcast, they are digging into the woman's home in the North Shore, I think, in Australia, and are trying to look for bones for the third time, but in a really huge way. So the public support of this is really good. But one of the reasons that I wanted to share it that I thought really worked is that he was actually using the feedback that he was getting almost in real time and adding it to every episode. So he was getting another interview, or he was getting somebody else to disclose more information, or he was getting another interview with somebody else.
Good Lord.
And he was also using the coverage that The Teacher's Pet was getting on TV in Australia and using that as well. So it was really well done. I loved the way that he put that whole thing out. Anyway. That's me. I think we're done.
Thank you guys so much for listening to She Podcast. You can check out our show notes at shepodcasts.com. You can also join our free Facebook group, at facebook.com/groups/shepodcast. We also have a new VIP group where if you're a $5 Patreon contributor to She Podcast, you get our free extra special VIP treatment where we give you advice and certain hours where we answer questions just for you guys. So if you want to be a part of that, it's patreon.com/She Podcast. That is called the She Podcast Super Squad. Also, if anyone wants to advertise on our show or sponsor one of our weekly posts, you can do that on Patreon as well. So check it out if you're interested in being mentioned on there. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at She Podcast, and you can email us at feedback@shepodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye.